during this season, as a pastor, I went back and looked. I can't tell you over the 40 some odd years how many Christmas messages I've got. And, you know, and looking at Christmas from one side, the other side, upside, downside, inside and out. And every time I think I've kind of got a handle on the birth of Christ, I see something different. And you know, it's a time where you want to preach and teach on joy, and that's what people are looking for. They're looking for joy. They're looking for peace on earth. Well, none of that's coming anytime soon. Just so you'll know. But that doesn't mean you can't have it on the inside of you. You can have peace inside of you. You can have joy. Amen. But listen, the world is never going to be satisfied with Christmas. Amen. Not without Jesus. Not without Jesus. And I was just actually several weeks ago just kind of praying about Christmas and about the services and what to share. And I talked a little bit about this last week, but I can't help but see the supernatural in Christmas. And really, my message, if you want to call it, the title of my message is Celebrating the Supernatural in Christmas. Because the supernatural in Christmas, I don't want to say spills over, but transfers over to the believer today. If you can hear what I'm saying this morning, get a revelation of this, that what God did through the birth of Jesus was for one purpose, and that was for you. It wasn't to create a Christmas story that the world could celebrate, or it was for you. It was for me. And so what I wanted you to understand is this. There is a longing that comes from the heart of man for the supernatural. Because eternity is in the heart of man. So the supernatural is just part of it. There's another dimension. There's another world. There's another place beyond what we touch, we feel that's around us. You know, heaven's not 1,000 miles up. Because if it was, in Australia, it'd be 1,000 miles down. So you say, well, hell's down. Well, it depends on where you are, I guess. But you know, listen, do you know that if you could do this and you could do like that and there would be heaven? Explain that, can't. It's not off somewhere. It's right here. Angels are right here. Well, they're in heaven. No, they're right here. Well, where's the throne of God? I don't know. But I know that world is not far off. It's near. That divine connection with the natural world and the world of God by the Holy Spirit for us is called the supernatural, that connection. Really, Christmas is the beginning of the supernatural God dealing with the affairs of man in an exposed supernatural way. Before Jesus came, there was the supernatural, but it was so limited. Most of humanity didn't know anything about it. Even after Jesus came, religion put him in a box to where the supernatural couldn't even work. Very limited. But then something happened. First of all, the Word of God was released to humanity. Second of all, the Holy Spirit came on the scene in a greater way than ever. So what I want to show you today from the Word is the connection between the birth of Jesus and you and where we are, what we can have and walk in today. In Matthew chapter 1, verse 18, it says, the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. Okay? As follows. The last part of that says that Mary, now listen to this, was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Okay? Listen to this. Found of child of the Holy Spirit. Now just hang with me here, all right? The Passion Translation in verse 20 says, the last part, because the power of the Holy Spirit had conceived a child in her womb. The power of the Holy Spirit was there. It conceived a child in her womb. Now, you know, we look at that and it's profound. Never happened before, never happened again. It was a one-off, so to speak. It was God getting his son into the earth without a man so that his blood would flow through that child's body. A lot to that that you, I don't want to get into today. But what you need to understand is and realize is, listen to this, Acts chapter 8, Acts chapter 1, verse 8 says, but you shall receive power after the what? Holy Spirit has come upon you. Is that a different Holy Spirit? Is it a different operation? No. Well, but that was a divine operation of God. It was a divine operation of God, but it had to have humans that were willing. You better hear what I'm saying today, because you're going to have to get prepared. Okay? Listen to me. The Holy Spirit that came on Mary and conceived the Son of God is the same Holy Spirit that is available to you on the inside of you and upon you to accomplish his will for your life, and listen to me, and to work in your life. No different. You can marvel at that, and it is a marvel. I was listening to some missionaries. They ended up talking to some Islamic clerics, and they were mocking the birth of Christ. That yeah, right. She was a virgin. Sure, she was. Yeah, there was a man there somewhere, and mocking that's a foundation of creation. But you know what? If you don't understand the Holy Spirit, if you don't understand the way God works, the whole creation, the Holy Spirit was hovering, waiting for God to speak, and creation came into existence. Same Holy Spirit. Same Holy Spirit. Well, I just don't feel him. Well, you can. Listen, I found out something about the Holy Spirit that a long time ago, if I want him working in my life, I got to get in his world, not my world. He's not going to sit in an R-rated movie with you and talk to you. Other than, get out. You might say that. If you want the Holy Spirit working in your life, you have to put yourself in a place for him to work in your life. Worship is an awesome place for the Holy Spirit to work in your life. Praying in the Spirit is an awesome place for the Holy Spirit to work. Submitting yourself to the Word of God is an awesome place. Well, he's just not working in my life. Well, it's not his fault. I'm going to show you this in a minute. You shall receive power after the Holy Spirit's come upon you. Came upon Mary. So you need to realize and understand, we've got some Christmas capabilities. We can dream about how awesome that was, and it's wonderful to celebrate it. I'm not demeaning it. I'm not putting it down at all, but I'm trying to get you to understand we've got that same Holy Spirit. Yeah, not only do we have him, he will work in our lives. Everybody still with me? So you need to understand that it says, I like the Passion Translation. It says, the power of the Holy Spirit has conceived a child in her womb. Bam. Can you figure that out? Nope. Did it happen? Yes. And you need to be ready for the Holy Spirit to work in your life. See, the Bible teaches us, it says, be careful you don't offend the Holy Spirit. Talking to believers. Be careful you don't resist the Holy Spirit. He's available. He wants to work. Whatever your situation, wherever you are in your life. All right, so let me show you something else that'll help you with this, all right? All right, John chapter 1, verse 1. Listen to what it says. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same in the beginning was with God.
What it says.
All right? Now listen to verse 14. Listen. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Anybody know who that was? Yeah, Jesus. The Word became flesh. Do you understand that God's Word, that he wants it to become flesh? What do you mean by that, Pastor? He sent his Word to heal you. He wants it to be flesh. He wants it to be not only recognized as the Word of God, but to be active in your life. Isaiah said, just like he sent rain down from heaven to produce fruit on the earth, so shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It will not return unto me void. It works. It works. It works in the flesh. It'll work in your life. Jesus was made flesh by the Word of God through the power of the Holy Spirit. How did that happen? Listen, you'll never know how it happened, but you can know how it can work in your life. Now, you got to hear me today, because I want to tell you something. Religion's tried to steal everything that we have that can be supernatural. He wants to take the Holy Spirit out of your life. Well, you know, that Holy Spirit and being filled with the Spirit and speaking in tongues, that was just for the apostles. Here's something interesting to me. People who don't believe in speaking in other tongues, and that's not my message today, but it is an evidence of being filled with the Spirit, all right? Who don't believe in being filled with the Spirit with the evidence of speaking in other tongues also don't believe in miracles. They don't believe in the supernatural. They just believe, well, one day we're going to go to heaven. And if it's God's will, maybe he'll heal us, or maybe this will happen, or maybe that'll happen, but you never know. But I tell you, you get filled with the Holy Spirit, and all of a sudden, something changes, and you start looking into the Word of God, and it's not something just written as a history book or as a tale that's going to be foretold in the future somewhere. It becomes life to you. It's interesting how that works. Now, I'm not pointing my finger at anybody. I'm not trying to accuse anybody. I'm just telling you, the Word was made flesh. God connected the Word with the supernatural. He connected it. You know, you go study the history of the Jewish nation. God commanded him basically to memorize the Bible. At least the first four books. Memorize it. Told Joshua, meditate on the word of God day and night, then you'll have good success. But listen, it wasn't supernatural. It wasn't made flesh. It wasn't like you could take that word and it would produce something inside of you. It could produce life on the inside of you. But because Jesus connected the word with the supernatural, now we can. I found out something interesting about the word. It says that Jesus was born of the word of God. The word was made flesh, right? Listen to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22 and verse 23. Since you purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart. Now listen to this. Having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, how? Through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. That's supernatural. It is. Sam Carr, listen to me, heard the word of God, obeyed the word of God, came to an altar October the 17th, 1974, accepted the word of God for my life, and I was born again. The word was made flesh. I became a new creature in Christ. Old things passed away. All things became new. It wasn't like it was some kind of moral change in my life. I didn't have a moral change in my life. I had a supernatural change in my life because I was born of the word of God. Years ago, I was in Scotland, and I was over there preaching, but I also had to do what? Play golf. Okay. So, I'm playing golf, and they have a caddy with you, you know, and there was a young man there with me, he was caddy, and so I was telling him about what God had done in my life, and, you know, and my life, and how it changed, and how you know, what I just said, I got saved. I walked down to the front. I made Jesus the Lord of my life, and I became a new creature, and I told him all that, and so he didn't say a word. So we're walking down, you know, just walking down the fairway there, and he just reached up and tapped me on the shoulder, and he said, how long did it take you to change? I said, about 2 seconds. Because it was super, I didn't tell him this, but because it was supernatural. See, lots of people can go to church, but until that word is made flesh, until it comes alive on the inside of you and you are born of God, you are born again, and you come alive unto God, listen to me, you're just playing religion. Jesus made the word come alive for us. Now, here's something else I found out about the word. Angels, listen to me, angels confirm the word. Angels like the word of God. You remember the shepherds? You know what they did? They heard angels. The angels told them what to do. The angels told them the word of God. And they found Jesus. And then they said, we got to go tell everything we have heard. Who'd they hear it from? Angels. Then they saw the real. Y'all still with me? So listen to me. Do you know that the Bible says over in Mark chapter 16 that God will confirm the word for you? Says he'll confirm the word with signs following. You want God to do something? Start saying what God says. He'll confirm that. He'll validate it. Why? Because he'll make it flesh. He wants to make it flesh. He wants it to produce fruit. He doesn't want it to return void. We get into a situation or circumstance of life, and all we do is say, oh my God, I don't know what I'm going to do. Oh God, help me. I'll tell you what God wants you to do. He wants you to say what he said. Declare his word. Speak his word out of your mouth. And somehow God will begin to confirm that. Listen, here's the scary thing, okay? And I'm going to use this as an example. You remember the Magi, they came to Jerusalem looking for Jesus, looking for this. They followed this star. And where is this divine being? Where is this person, this King of Kings? We're looking for him. We followed the star. It brought us here. So Herod went and got the Pharisees, and he got the chief priest. And he came, he brought him, he said, in verse 4 of chapter 2 of Matthew, he said, and when he'd gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. And they said to him, listen, they said to him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophets. But it meant nothing to them. How do you know? Because they didn't go. There are a lot of people that know the Bible. But they're not going. That's why James said, be a doer, not a hearer only. It's easy to hear the Bible. If you're around church very much, you're going to hear the Bible. But you got to go. You've got to hear it. Let me give you another example that'll help you with this. Okay? The angel told Mary exactly what was going to happen to her. Now, remember I told you earlier, it takes people. These events didn't happen in a vacuum. Told Mary, all right, this is what's going to happen to you, Mary. Life-altering? You think that was life-altering for a teenager? Yeah, I think so. Changed her whole destiny. Mary said this when the angel told her. Behold, this is Luke chapter 1, verse 38. Listen. Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word. Let it be to me according to your word. In the circumstances of your life, and you're looking at something in your life, are you saying, I got to figure out how to do this? What am I going to do? I don't know what to do. Or are you going to open your Bible, find the verse that's going to communicate to you the victory and say, be it unto me according to this word right here. This is the word that I am standing on. This is what I am believing. You are connecting the natural with the supernatural, and that word will become flesh. It will come out of the realm of the Spirit into your life. Man, that's over my head. It shouldn't be. Be it unto me according to the word that's spoken, to the word of God. And then I love what the angel told her when she said this, before she said this. Listen to what he said. For with God, nothing will be impossible, and no word from God shall be without power or impossible of fulfillment. Well, I'm looking at these circumstances, and I tell you, it looks far away from the word of God. No word from God is impossible. No word from God is without power or impossible to fulfill. No word from God. Well, I hadn't had a word from God. Open your Bible. There it is. You want an extracurricular word from God, you'll get a word, but it won't be from God. It's interesting, you need to hear this, that the angels only spoke the word of God. They didn't speak new revelation. They spoke what was written. They just spoke what was written. And when they spoke what was written, and they had somebody like a little teenage girl say, be it unto me according to that word. Because that word, I love what the angel said, that word from God was not without power, and it was not impossible to fulfill. Now, here's something I want you to listen to. When I read that, all of a sudden it dawned on me, this angel must have been really excited about this. He brought a word to her, and he delivered a word from God to her, and she received it. That angel knew, because he said it, no word from God's without power or impossible to fulfillment. How did he know? Because he's been around since the beginning. He's watched God speak, and he's watched everything God said come to pass. And that's all he's doing is telling her, hey, I've been here, done this, bought the t-shirt, it works. There's no word from God that's without power or impossible of fulfillment. I'm going to tell you something. Listen, the word and angelic activity work together. I've heard people and I've heard preachers preach this, and I can't find it in the word, so I don't preach it. Well, you just tell your angels what you want. Just tell them to go. Tell them to do this. Tell them to do that. I can't find that in the Bible. If you've got it, bring it to me. I'd like to know it. But what I do know is Psalm 103, verse 20 says, bless the Lord, you his angels, who excel in strength, who do his word, heeding the voice of his word. They like to hear the word of God. They like it. It's not your word. It's God's word. You want to stir angels up, just start speaking the word. Well, I'm going to tell them to do this. No, you can't tell them to do that. Just speak the word. They'll handle their job. They'll handle their job. All you have to do is just speak the word. They'll handle their job. They don't go by what you say. They go by what God's word says. They go by what God says. All right, I don't have time to get into this anymore. So, okay. All right, so let me show you something else. Matthew chapter 1. Interesting, this is an angel talking. Verse 23. Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated, I'm glad they translated it for us, God with us. God with us. The supernatural, the God of the universe, the God who sits on his throne chose, listen to me, to be with us through Jesus. Well, Jesus is gone, I know, but he's still here. All of a sudden, a new dimension of life came. A light came into darkness. Now, God's not on his throne waiting on sacrifices of men. He's on his throne having sacrificed himself through his son, so he could be with us. I love the Passion Translation. It says, which in the Hebrew means, God became one of us. God became one of us. Jesus became a man. He laid down his deity to be one of us. Pure, untainted, but one of us. You know why? Because now God with us will work with our flesh. Huh? Listen to me. Listen to what the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 4. I'm going to read three verses, then I'm going to come back. Listen to this. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, who is that? Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. Wonder why we need to do that. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let me do something. A good friend of mine, he's gone home to be with the Lord now, Buddy Harrison, helped me with this one time. He was preaching. He said, of this verse 15, take the knots out of it. You know, it's backward. Take the knots out of it and read it. So let's do that. Listen to this. For we have a high priest who can sympathize with our weaknesses and was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. The King James Bible says that he was literally touched with the feeling of our infirmities. Now God with us has connected the natural with the supernatural. No longer do I have to convince God, I'm really hurting down here. You know, I mean, I'm struggling. I'm really hurting. Jesus already knows it. He's been there. He's touched with the feeling of your infirmities. He knows how you're feeling. The supernatural came to us. Now God works with us, for us, in us. Because Jesus became one of us. Now listen to what the next verse says. This is going to help you. Listen to verse 16. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. You got a time of need in your life? Jesus is there. He's not holding back. He's not holding back. Why? Because he's one of us. Is he divine? Absolutely. He's the Son of God, seated at the right hand of the Father. But now he's one of us. He can be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. And so God's with us forevermore. Now the Holy Spirit is in us. Jesus said he has dwelt with you, but now he's in you. He was with you, now he's in you. And he's not going anywhere. Let me read you a scripture in Hebrews out of the Amplified Bible. It's one of my favorites, Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. Listen to this, the latter part of it. I'm going to just read the last part of it. For he, God himself, has said, I will not in any way fail you or give you up or leave you without support. I will not, I will not, I will not. And that's actually the way it's translated. In any degree, leave you helpless or forsake or let you down or relax my hold on you? Assuredly not. Surely not. Not going to happen. Why? Because he's with us. He's in us. Divine supernatural connection. I've got some other ones, but I'm going to jump real quick because I don't want to. I want to just jump to this last point real quick for the sake of time. Listen to this. The last thing I want you to hear is this, and that is this: that God revealed his faithfulness. I just read to you, he won't leave you, but God revealed his faithfulness. Think about this for a minute, okay? For 400 years since the end of Malachi, God had not spoken to his people. 400 years, not a peep. Not a word. They're just going on what they've already got. Nothing from God. No prophets risen. Nothing for 400 years. Yet, listen to this. And I don't have time to go into the dates, but they fit, okay? Yet at the precise moment, God's faithfulness exploded into humanity. It's like 1 minute, it's quiet. There's not a word. You wonder where God is. Doesn't seem like anything's happening. Nothing's going on for 400 years. And all of a sudden, the angels are rejoicing. Heaven's exploding because the Son of God's born. Do you know some of the last words the Lord spoke in Malachi was, I'm going to send Elijah the prophet to you. Well, how many of you know that was John the Baptist? You read Matthew chapter 3, verse 1, and you find out it's John the Baptist. Jesus said it was. 400 years before he came. God, you said Elijah was coming. Where is he? Nothing. 400 years. Now, I'm not trying to discourage you today, but just listen to me, okay? And then after that 400-year period, this is not dealing with Christians. This is dealing with Israel, a whole different ballgame. But the point I want you to make is that even then, God had a date in mind. I'm gonna deal with this. I'm going to fulfill this. It's going to come to pass. It's going to be like I said. Every word I've said, it's going to come. I'm going to send Elijah. I'm going to send him as John the Baptist, and we're going to get this thing started. And actually, you can go back 700 years, and Isaiah said, I'm coming. I'm sending my son. I'm coming. I'm coming. You say, well, Pastor, I'm going to have to wait 400 years. I'm going to be... No, listen to me. What I'm trying to get you to understand is that God is faithful. Now, listen to this. If you feel all is lost with what God has promised you, Christmas is a time for renewed hope and joy because God is faithful to his word and his promises. And I believe in our lifetime, in your lifetime. How about today? Hey, trust me, you can't imagine how many times I've said, Lord, I need that today, right now. But the good news is this, God is faithful to his word. He's faithful to his promises. Don't ever quit. Don't ever give up. Listen to the Amplified Bible, 2 Peter 3:9. I'm going to just read this portion just to encourage you. Listen. The Lord does not delay, is not tardy or slow about his promises. He's not tardy. He's not delayed. If you'll just stay with it, God will be faithful. He'll work. You say, well, but I'll tell you, it just seems like things are getting worse. It doesn't seem like anything's going to work. Just stay faithful. Just let God work. God's working. God's working. Habakkuk 1 says God's working. He said he'll work a work that even if he told you, you wouldn't even believe it. I have experienced this over the many years, you know, now serving God, that I want something now and I want it. And there is an element, if you'll just be patient, God will be faithful. If you'll just stay with God, stay with his word, don't give up, don't give in, God will do what he said. 2 Timothy chapter 2, it says, if we are faithless, do not believe and are untrue to him, he remains true, faithful to his word and his righteous character, for he cannot deny himself. You know what that means? It's not his fault. He's not leaving. He's not going anywhere. He's still faithful. He's faithful when we're not faithful. He's still there. He's not going anywhere. He's right there, ready to work in our lives. So I want to encourage you this morning. Take time to go read the Christmas story. And let the Holy Spirit insert your circumstances and how you can overcome in your circumstances. What you can do in your life, because the Holy Spirit's still around. Not in a lesser degree. He's still around. The Word of God's still alive. God's still faithful. The angels are still at work. Everything is still here. Well, I wish I was in Bethlehem. You wouldn't want to be in Bethlehem today. You're liable to get kidnapped or shot. It's not about the place. It's about the Holy Spirit right where you are. He'll work in your life. He wants to work in your life. Listen, there's more. Go read about the divine direction. God can divinely direct you right now, today, supernaturally. What about dreams? Do you know that God works in dreams? The Bible says that young men are going to see visions and old men are going to dream dreams. I see visions myself, but but do you understand? I'm going to just say this. Okay, it's in the Word. An angel appeared to Joseph in a dream. Somehow angels can get into your brain, into your dream life. I don't know how that works. There's so much more that God can do and wants to do. And I believe as surely as the Pharisees knew what was going to happen, knew the season that was going to happen when Jesus came but didn't grab hold of it, we're about to see the end of this thing. We need to know the Word of God not as something like, well, he's coming, I hope he comes soon. We need to know the Word of God to recognize the times, the seasons, and how we're to live our lives in the midst of that time and that season. Because it's scary today where the body of Christ is. It's scary. But I'm going to tell you something. We're going to get ready. Amen. Amen.